Yes, Rankin's done it 2 weeks running. Can't be bad. We're here to discuss Apple Keynote. There was actually a keynote. It was actually a good keynote. I thought it was really good. Joining me is someone that joined me on the night. Charlotte.
Hello, good evening. Yeah, we had a fun evening, didn't we, with the London Mac user group?
We did. We sat and talked wholly inappropriate things.
Hooray.
And watched the keynote.
Had a beer. It was a great evening.
Had beers and talked wholly inappropriate things. It was great.
Loved it. Great evening.
Did you think it was a good keynote?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was actually Apple sort of going back to basics keynote. I really liked a lot of what was in there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was quite impressed. I've got to say, I'm the nicer. I won't be getting death threats after this week's episode. Next to Charlotte, Monsieur Madden.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, buddy. You?
Hi. I've got the sniffles, unfortunately.
We've passed in about the last month and a half.
Passed? Oh, in shows?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I've been in, you've been out. We're like a dockyard with only one berth.
Well, that court restraining order is obviously not in effect this week, so.
No, there we go. What have you been up to, pal? Week off?
I've had a week off, so I've been doing some writing. I went down to Isle of Wight to visit Russ, and we watched the keynote in the Isle of Wight, where there is internet connectivity.
Wow, and inside toilets too, I gather.
Apparently, but I misspelled it wrong on my tweet. So.
Yes, you did. But I thought Russ lived in Swindon or something. Does he move?
No, he does. He vacates. He vacates on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, he's got a holiday home. Really good. Was it nice down there?
Yeah, it's lovely. It's like nice pubs. The only thing is, I watched the keynote after about 6 pints. So towards like 1 hour, 20 minutes, I started to nod off a bit.
It was way past your bedtime by that point.
Well, no, because then we finished and went for more pints and more curry. So yeah. It was nice. It was good. It was good.
Next to him, Kelly. How's it going, girl?
Hey, not bad. How about you?
Yeah, all right. Did you think it was a good keynote?
I did. I was going to be surprised because so far everybody here thinks it was good, but there's been a lot of concern about it around because there was so much video and all this and, you know, whatever.
I must have been on it must have been a different Apple and a different keynote if everyone likes it.
Well, yeah, I guess. The thing that was interesting to me this time was that for the first time that I can remember, stock prices went up.
Really? I hadn't noticed
that.
Yeah,
after the announcement, it was like...
assume they go down. Oh, that's they're doomed then. And last but by no means least, Dr. William, National Union of Journalists, Green.
Hello, Jack.
How you doing, bud?
They wouldn't let him in until he got his haircut.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a beautiful haircut.
Do you like that?
It's a beautiful haircut. You need to pay your electricity bill, mate. Put some lights on.
I have got lights on, but...
Put bulbs in them, then.
That's the thing. That is the thing, because, you know those candle bulbs that flicker? The pretendy ones?
All right.
Four candles?
Four candles, yeah.
And they don't give off a lot. Well, it's got three... It's got two flickery ones, and it's got one real one.
Okay.
Is Green doing the show by candlelight?
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. That answers so many questions. Did you enjoy the keynote, Greeny?
Yeah, not too bad.
Well, I would have asked Carl. There we go. I would have asked Carl as well, but he was drunk. So we all thought it was a good keynote. Then can't be bad. We like that. All good keynotes. And I just want to give a midpoint report here. Everyone's in 720p, and my CPU is a third of what it normally is.
Wow!
What did you do?
Everything's in 720p, and it's just completely made Wirecast fly. It'll probably still crap out, but, I mean, there you go.
Come on, we've got to get to the show without crashing.
No, I'm quite happy. It's good. It's
I
good.
Don't want to talk about it too much so we don't jinx it.
First things first, then. Mavericks. Got to start with Mavericks. I thought the price was good.
The price is awesome.
Yeah. Everyone installed it. I have. Yep. I've done it on this machine, but I haven't done it on this machine. This machine is the one that you're all watching us on. And apparently there's issues with Wirecast, so I haven't put it on yet.
Good move.
Everyone's put it on the machine. Do they like it? No, Greeny hasn't.
I love it.
Charlotte loves it. Greeny hasn't. Kelly hasn't.
No.
And Carl has.
I did, yeah, because I was in the Isle of Wight, I had to wait till the next day to put it on. Fortunately, then all the traffic.
Yeah, it's not that good an internet.
No, no. So, it went on smoothly and it came back to life and everything seemed to work. I haven't encountered one issue yet and I really like the screen sharing now. So I've got a different screen over there, which is can't see, obviously. I can AirPlay to my telly now as well with another screen if I so wish. I can be surrounded with screens now. That's one of the best features, I think.
Well, only six.
Well, that's three more than I've got.
And they're £900 a piece.
No, I got this one for free.
Really?
Officer. No, I mean, but I've encountered no problems. I've spoke to a few other people who've installed it, and they've not really encountered any problems as well.
The only thing I tweeted out within about 10 minutes of installing it was that the CPU goes absolutely apeshit when you update anything. It's takeoff speed.
I haven't noticed that. I've kept an eye on that.
Yeah, maybe it's just my Mac Pro. I don't know, my MacBook Pro, but no.
But did you read? There was an article. I don't know if you saw this article, and I don't know if it's even like worthy to speak about. But people were saying once they updated to Mavericks, if they had trial copies of iWorks and stuff, it upgraded them for free.
Right. Yeah, no, there was a glitch, wasn't there? Everyone got it for free.
But not a glitch, they said. Like, we did this because it's not, like, we've never been seriously concerned about piracy.
No. I think that's one of the key points behind the whole thing is that Apple clearly is seeing any kind of DRM stuff as bad juju for the net. I think they've outed themselves definitely as a net neutral company this week.
Oh, so, right, I've got iWork.
Yeah.
And now, which I will do a fresh install when I do it. And when I put iWork on, it'll be upgraded to the latest one, will it, for nothing?
Yeah, if you've got the iWork packages, iWork packages, they upgrade for free. So if you've got the Mac App Store pages, numbers, and Keynote, they'll upgrade for free to the new versions.
I haven't got those. I've got...
You've got the disk ones. i9. i9, you'll have to buy them again anyway.
No, i9 as well, I think, is fine.
Well, that's really going to piss me off immensely then, because I had i9 and it wouldn't update, so I had to go and get the new ones out of the Mac App Store. Thieving bastards. There you go. I might be getting death threats after all this week.
It took about 12 hours for it to kick in for some reason. It wasn't immediately available, like they said. It was like a few hours later, but no, I'm pretty sure.
It took a while for iPhoto and iMovie to get the free upgrades as well, which is what I've got, but now they worked. I did those yesterday.
Belts in the chat room confirms both iWorks and iLife got upgrades for free.
Ha-ha!
So Apple made a statement about it.
Your installation DVD, right, which came with my Mac.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, yeah, that's different, I think, because you're running iLife 11.
No, but if he puts it in, if he installs it, once he's installed it under Mavericks... and he opens up the App Store, it'll go, oh, you've got these. Do you want me to update them for you?
Yep.
So what about Logic then?
No, it doesn't work on Logic.
Oh, bollocks.
Yeah. No, it didn't. I've got Logic. It definitely doesn't offer me any Logic.
It works on another Pro app, though.
Oh, go on.
It works on Aperture. The trial version of Aperture, it updates for you.
The trial version?
That was also in the article I read.
So there was a comment where Phil Schiller said, "See how good this is when he's working with the new version of Aperture." And I tweeted out, "There's a new version of Aperture. Is there a new version of Aperture? Then they just haven't mentioned it or they haven't done it properly."
No, they upgraded it, didn't they? To 3.5, I think it is.
Oh, that's not a new version of Aperture.
I think the one that he was using when he said the 64-bit, I get the feeling that they're going to release all those Pro apps because he said the same about Final Cut Pro as well. When they released that Pro. That's when you're going to get those Pro apps come out at the same time, I reckon.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that'll be good.
Fair play to Apple, though. I mean, it's all good, isn't it? All of that, isn't that lovely? It's like people moan about the hardware and stuff, the initial investment costs a lot of money in Apple computers.
Yeah.
But they certainly sort of pay you back in every way. I mean, not just the best computer in the world, but this sort of behaviour from Apple given... new OS out for free and updating your sort of core applications for free. It's good, isn't it? Let's be honest. Really nice.
Yeah, it's very good. No, I agree.
Well, I mean, I think the other thing is, it's like I said, it's DRM free. So if you, I mean, okay, your stuff like that you bought through the Mac App Store is going to do that, but Mavericks, excuse me, I noticed today that the Hackintosh community have got Mavericks for free as well. Wow. They've hacked it and cracked it already, and you can install it. I think it's because the basic core code is not hugely different from Mountain Lion. That's probably what the thing is, because the look's very much the same as well. There's only odd differences between them.
Yeah. What's the advantages then? I mean, why
of Mavericks?
Because I haven't installed it yet, and I don't know a fat lot about it, to be honest.
Well, from my understanding, it extends battery life humongously if you put it on a portable. I mean, it's huge, even for older machines. There's also no drop-off on legacy, isn't there? So it goes right the way back to IMAX for 2007. So you'll get enhancements, and it's supposed to be a lighter and leaner operating system on your CPU. So,
I have to say, I haven't noticed much improvement in battery life on my MacBook Pro. I was working with it today off AC power and just using the battery. And I didn't notice it lasting much longer. It wound down pretty quickly. And I wasn't doing anything too intensive. You know, I wasn't trying to edit video or photos or anything.
Well, they're talking on the MacBook Airs of effectively, with the battery changes that they're making in the upgrade, they're talking about them being able to watch video for 9 hours. Not standby.
Yeah, he said you could watch the whole Batman trilogy.
No.
Without
the Black one battery, Knight. Didn't...
Yeah, the Black Knight.
Only one.
No, he obviously like fluffed his line because instead it's not the Black Knight. It's obviously the Dark Knight. But you know.
All right.
Yeah. Black Knight was in Monty Python. Don't lose.
I'd like to see three Black Knight films then. In that case, if that's the one.
Right.
Why has no one picked up that franchise and run with
that
it?
That would be awesome.
Because he's got no legs, but umptish. Yeah, you all missed that one, Jesus.
Oh.
Subtle joke of the week, and you all fluffed it.
It's because it was subtle. I'm only halfway through my coffee.
I think a lot of the battery saving things come along as well as you, if you're using Safari at the moment as well, because that's purposefully written, to take advantage of some of the power saving things. Like it turns off Windows in the background that it's not currently using and things like that. So that will extend the battery life.
Yeah.
I'm not sure so much if you still use Chrome, which actually the new Safari has tempted me away from Chrome at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I've got to say, Chrome's a bit of a bork at the moment. Every time I start it, if I go up to the address bar, click on it, www. All I get is the spinning pinwheel.
Oh, dear.
And then it catches up. And it's on every platform I've got, every single one. So I'm a devotee of Safari at the moment. Scrutinizer in the chat room says, Lion killed my 2007 iMac. Mountain Lion dug it up but buried it again afterwards. So who knows, I'm replacing one word there, what Mavericks would be like on it. It would take a miracle. It's supposedly lighter and it's supposed to be a lot more caring of the legacy machines from everything that everyone's been saying on blogs and stuff, so...
And what surprised me was how far back it goes. This is another, I think for me overall, the thing about the event was how much was kept. So for everything that they announced, there was a piece of what they kept or what they supported that really surprised me. And how far back you can run Mavericks was the first thing that surprised me.
2007.
Yeah, because I bought a new laptop last year and the machine I replaced will run Mavericks. And I'm not a person who replaces machines every year, you know, because it's time. Oh, it's fall. I'm going to get a new computer. It's not like that. It was a unibody MacBook, the late 08 MacBook, and the one. And I can go in once it goes to .1 and I get the opportunity to sit down with it, I'm going to go install it on that machine. And for me, as somebody who works for a software company that has software in the Mac App Store, the fact that the new OS is free is very exciting because it means maybe something else will make it to the top of the best grossing list.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing as well is that I need to... Well, I'll do this on one of your machines when someone else is talking. I'm going to do the About Mac on the little Mac Minis that I've got in here that run the Skype wall behind me. My 2008 MacBook Pro, which is up here, is still running with a little SSD in it, and that'll definitely run it. And I think these little Mac Pros or MacBook Mac Minis will run it. So it could be all upgraded tonight before we do the big show. We could all be super slick.
And for people who aren't on Lion or Mountain Lion, they're selling codes for $20 so that you can get one of those versions, so that then you can have the Mac App Store and then get the upgrade for free.
Oh.
You don't need to, do you?
People do if you're on Snow Leopard.
You need to. You've got to have access to the Mac App Store, otherwise.
Snow Leopard was okay as well. I thought, yeah, last update of Snow Leopard activated the App Store.
Yeah, it did. So if you're on the latest version of Snow Leopard, if you've done the point upgrades, and you've done or Mountain Lion or Lion, then it's free to you. But if you've got Snow Leopard and you haven't got, or above, before that, say Leopard, is there? Mm-hmm. You say there's a utility that allows you access to download.
Yeah, I'm going to find a link to it so I make sure I've got all the information, because it was a really interesting thing for me to see.
Kelly, the rest of us never actually know that we understand the information before we talk. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I shot my mouth off and then went, now I'm going to go look up the link.
Good girl. You see, you're fitting right in. You're fitting right in. While Kelly does that, I'll check her machine.
Okay, so it's...
I was going to say, if you've got a mate who's got a Mac with the App Store thing, he can just download it and make a bootable.
Yeah, you can make a boot disk, because there's no DRM on it at all or anything like that.
Anything like that.
Yeah, if you have Leopard or Snow Leopard, because I think probably Snow Leopard, the last edition of the Mac App Store, probably won't get you there. So you'll need a Lion in some fashion. So.
Right. And while Kelly was talking there, that was Will Green's lips that were moving, because I was checking what Kelly's machine was, but it doesn't actually say what year it was, so I'll have to wait and see. I'll just stick a disc in the back and be done with it.
I do think that this upgrade Mavericks is actually one of the most impressive. The way I've noticed with my workflow that everything is working so much more smoothly. The first thing I noticed, I think Carl mentioned it as well, is how good it is if you're using multiple monitors.
Mm.
Because it's made such a huge difference, because it used to be that if you had like multiple programs running on multiple monitors, all the menus would be just at the top of your primary screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now if you have different programs, you can drop one onto, say, your secondary monitor, and all the menu bar will just move right to the top, and it just flashes across whenever you move the menu. Whenever you move the application, sorry. So it's making it much easier. You don't have to keep jumping across screens and things like that.
And if you put your mouse down to the bottom of the screen, the dock jumps over as well.
Yeah, I did that by accident before.
Say that again.
And I didn't know what was going on, but it works beautifully. So you can jump the dock around without even trying.
If you move your mouse to the bottom of a secondary screen, the dock jumps from your, well, call it your main one, to the secondary one. And then to get it back, you do exactly the same thing on your main one.
Oh, you got to click on it on mine. Okay. Oh, that's good. Have you noticed as well, if you double-click the dock, it changes size?
No.
I did it earlier. There we go. Oh, what did I do? No, I did something, and I double-clicked the dock, and it changed. I'm sure it shrunk and then grew.
Oh, what did the genie?
I might be talking out my arse.
Another thing I like is the tags, the new tags. Now,
yeah.
I've been quite strict with myself for using them at the moment, so hopefully it will develop a habit.
Do you smack yourself if you type a bad tag?
Well, I'll do that anyway. But no, I mean, just to create a project you're working on, and you can just tag it, and all those appear in a new tag that then you can search for. That's really handy. It doesn't sound like much, I know.
Mm. Didn't quite get the tags. How do you use it?
So when you create a new file or a new file of anything or a folder, you have the option. You have the option.
Well, every file you've got, effectively, you can tag.
Yeah, you can go back. Yeah, you can go back and retro them, so to speak. So if you're doing a piece for the Mac Observer, for example, and you're collecting all the stuff that you need for that piece, you can mark everything as you save it as Mac Observer, and then you can go and just search for that, and all those pieces will be pulled together into one place, no matter where they are, spread across your...
Everything I write about Apple, I could tag, say, blue.
Yep.
And then when I click on blue, it'll all be there.
Yeah, or you can give it a custom.
You can tag it, yeah.
Whatever you want.
See, the one thing that I saw immediately there is I've got lots of JPEGs and PNG files. Some are photos and some are graphics that I've made in Photoshop. So I can tag each one as it being a photo or a graphic. And just that simple thing will help me find tons of stuff, especially for Final Cut.
How does that differ greatly from just sharing things, putting things in a, you know, having a good folder system?
Well, you could use smart folders before, but the problem was you had to, the smart folder would just get cluttered because then if you made subfolders, the smart folder didn't apply anymore. You had to have it all in one lump, whereas these, you just tag the image and then you can find it by image. And if you've got secondary keywords, it makes it significantly easier to then find those.
I was going to say, so can you add two tags as opposed to labels? You could only add one label.
I'm not sure if there's a limit, but I was adding like about five or six.
Yeah, there's any number. It's just a tagging system. It's effectively tagging that you would do in any kind of file organisation system like Aperture. No different.
Are those tags exportable? If you gave somebody that file, would the tags remain attached?
Good point. Don't know.
It's in the metadata, doesn't it, I suppose? So if it is...
It's got to, yeah.
I'd have to send you something and you could see if you can open it with the tag. Yeah.
I know Mr. Madden, your mission is to send us all an image or something that's tagged, making sure it's family-friendly, eh? Yeah. And we shall find out if it does. iCloud keychain, then. Do you want to enable iCloud keychain? No.
I did.
And?
I did.
If you're in the Mac universe only, it's going to be very handy. If you want to venture out of the Mac universe anywhere with your secure codes and stuff, you're going to need stuff like 1Password still. Definitely. But just for remaining in the Mac universe, it's pretty handy. And because the most handy part of it is it appears on your phone as well. So if you use the Safari browser on your phone, because there are alternatives, it just appears. Your passwords and your credit card numbers and all that stuff. But, like I say, if you want to go cross-platform, 1Password's still the way to go.
Kelly, would you endorse that?
Yeah. I'll give you the official stance.
Oh, okay.
At my day job. iCloud Keychain is awesome because it's putting something in front of people that they may not normally see or consider. So somebody who only has a laptop and an iPhone, somebody like my mom, may look at it and go, this is pretty good. It remembers all my stuff and I don't have to worry about it that much. And it will do all of these things for me.
And that was the official line, apparently.
Somebody like my stepdad.
Kelly,
Touch ID. Making people think about security in ways that they hadn't before, and it's very easy.
Kelly, sorry, your audio paused. I was being facetious. Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. Back to your stepdad.
My stepdad has a Windows machine and an iPhone, and so for him it's not going to work. So he's going to start using it and look around and go, hey, I can't use this on my computer. I can only use it on my phone. That's not very useful to me. Is there something else that will do the same thing? But let me use my Windows machine. Or maybe let me use my Android tablet and my phone and whatever computer I'm using. And for those people, as soon as you come up against the limitation, once you're used to the convenience of having all that stuff submit for you, then it makes something like 1Password really attractive. Everybody who has said, oh, are you guys going to go out of business because iCloud Keychain? I say to every one of those people, work PC. Because lots of people still have to use Windows at work, and this gives them an opportunity, and 1Password gives them an opportunity to use something else.
Yeah, you've still got, you're cross-platform, still got that bag, definitely. Now, here's the one that really surprised me, and I never thought about this until I saw it on the dock, and I'm like, what the hell's that for? iBooks. I had no idea, because it just never occurred to me. iBooks is all about reading it on iOS devices, and there was never anything that you could read it on your desktop, and I didn't miss it. I didn't know it. You couldn't do it. It just never struck me until today. What the hell's that for? Bloody hell, it's watching iBooks and buying them, and... That was a huge omission, I thought. But then again, maybe not, because I didn't know.
I reckon it's going to be good if you use a lot of tech books and stuff like that, reference books, because it's just another window on the screen. I'm not sure I'd want to read... the latest James Bond fiction book, for example, on it.
Well, they're selling it on the basis of it being for Stephen King novels, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think I completely agree with Carl. Yeah, actually, I think if you're, you know, often if you're doing like one of those learning to code books, and instead of having your iPad and you buy it through the iBookstore, which I've done before, if you I've often sat on my desk with iBooks open on my iPad, and actually it's very useful to have the documents that I've in the books that I've bought, that, like Carl says, reference books, just as another window. I think that would be a very something people will find really useful. But you're right, I didn't notice it wasn't there until it suddenly arrived in my dock when I got back and loaded Magritte.
The thing with iBooks, though, it brings something to the table that nothing else does, is it, as in interactive textbooks. So, I mean, you can get the Amazon Kindle reader. I don't think iBooks is about reading books on your Mac. I think it's all about interactive textbooks. Schools and stuff like that. Interactive textbooks.
Yeah, I think that'll be a big, I agree. I think that could be a really big thing. People start coming up with really inventive ways to use it now.
No, yes, I think
you need to keep an eye on the prices, though. That's the only problem with books from the Apple Store. Ever since they got their knuckles wrapped. You can normally. Everything you find in the Apple Store is normally cheaper on the Kindle. So as long as you don't want the interactivity.
I have avoided buying, like, reference books and things. I've been buying Kindle versions because I can do that on my Mac, or if I want to actually be reading it, I can read it everywhere. So I've been going that route with the books that I have purchased that are digital. And if I can use iBooks to do that, I'll do everything in iBooks, and that'll be all I need. And that's going to be, I think, a lot easier overall. So I won't be sad if I can't get my O'Reilly titles on my Kindle anymore. I think I'll be okay.
There is a Kindle app for the Mac as well, of course. I don't think I mentioned that earlier. But so you can technically still do it on a Kindle with Kindle purchases as well.
But does it look as nice as iBooks?
No. Well, it's just text.
I've got a
text. Well, you say it's just text, but actually the way iBooks presents things
is actually really nice
and very readable. And I've never found Kindle to be as attractive as iBooks.
No, but it doesn't lock you in. I mean, Kindle does sort of lock you in, but they make their app available everywhere. So although it is DRM, there's more options. Again, if you want to go outside the Apple universe, there's more options to read Kindle books than there is to read iBooks. So that's always something to be aware of as well.
I'm just opening up iBooks for the first time now, actually. Quite nice.
iBooks is fantastic. I've got a couple of customers that use them for briefing staff and things like that. And if they get a new member of staff, they give them an iPad and say, there you go, on the commute for the next couple of days, sit and read through the iBook on your induction. And people do read it, and they can interact with it, they can watch videos in it, they can click links on it to go to external stuff. It is absolutely fantastic, and this company has absolutely cracked it.
That's excellent.
It's really
good. That's awesome way of using it.
Yeah, no, they've really thought about it.
Oh, I like that. That's really clever. It looks nice. It looks lovely.
If you want to produce your own interactive textbook and publish it in the app store or the bookstore or whatever it's called, you can do.
Yeah, no, you can self-publish dead easy.
But if you do it for free, if it's a free giveaway book that you've made, you can add it for nothing. However, if you want to sell it, you have to buy ISBN numbers, and you can buy them in packs of 10, 20, 50, and all sorts of stuff. And they work out about £6 or £7 an ISBN number, and you need those before you can publish and sell your own book.
That's not that unreasonable.
No, it is. I think you have to buy it outside of the App Store, though. I think you have to, go to your ISBN broker and buy a pack. But, yeah, it's pretty reasonable. Isn't it the same as the App Store that they take 30% for books, where Apple take about 30%?
Yeah, they take 30% for everything, it seems. Paul Kirkle from The Comic Show, he published a book using iBooks, and he's got his adventures.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying he had adventures over his ISBN, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he ever wrote up all the trouble he went through, because he should do that, because that would be an interesting post for people, I think.
Ewan?
Sorry, I was choking. Yeah, go ahead.
No, don't choke me. I was going to say, do you think, can we go back to that, some of that iCloud and that keychain stuff? Because actually, I think there's some quite interesting security issues that have been thrown up by Apple storing all your passwords.
Go on, then.
Well, given what we're hearing about the NSA and the a possible interaction these big tech companies have had with them, I'm just interested in what people, you know, us five and people in the chat room, how happy we are handing over that kind of information still to companies like Apple, Google, so on and so forth. It's obviously Apple we're talking about now. I just wonder if you're suddenly building this keychain that Apple is in Apple's space. They say it's encrypted and they never see their password, I think, when you load out iCloud. But it just seems quite a big, something, you know, that they're really asking their customers to trust them on, again, still in the context of these leaks and these security information coming out.
Go on, Kelly. I think you're probably more qualified to answer that one. Is there a concern?
It really depends. We've heard some different stuff about Apple, or from Apple, about this in the last little while. Since they debuted it at WWDC, as a matter of fact, people have determined what the actual deal is, particularly because people were talking about messages and how someone said, well, messages is encrypted, and someone else said, yeah, but Apple, you know, has a key and Apple can undo it, you know, if ever the NSA were to ask them. So there's been some concerns that way. The thing about it is that I don't know. This is the thing I don't know, and there will probably be a post about it on the AgileBits blog in the very near future, because this is something that we definitely need to get into and address, but our security guy will probably get into the nuts and bolts of it. The way I can tell you that 1Password works, because that's the one I know for certain, is that your data is encrypted. Whether you don't ever sync it anywhere and only have your file on your laptop or your iMac or whatever, if you store it in Dropbox, your file is encrypted before it is uploaded. Only the encrypted data is what gets uploaded. If you use iCloud Sync, it's the same thing. So your data is always encrypted, regardless of whether you're syncing it somewhere else or not. And I don't know how the process works for iCloud Keychain if everything is encrypted locally and then that encrypted file is what's shared amongst your stuff or not.
So it should be okay.
That's the thing I can't tell you.
It should be all right. Yeah.
Thing is, we're all paranoid. That's the problem with this NSA stuff. We have no clue what they've really got. All we know is what Snowden tells us.
Of everyone who actually understands what's happened with the NSA that I've spoken to in America, including my family, I've yet to find any American who still holds any pride for their government agencies. They're not impressed in the slightest with what's gone on. Mostly because they're all been spied on as well as. Go on.
Oh, sorry, I was going to ask, was you impressed by the probe when it was finally announced and revealed?
I was. I thought the spec of that was extremely good. I think what they've done, though, is that they've leapt too far ahead of the market. I think they're going to miss a lot of sales out on the basis that they've gone for the 4K, because hardly anybody in the public market's got anything that will capture 4K. The cheapest that you can get at kind of consumer level is 2.5K for the Blackmagic video camera. So 4K, I think, still a long, long way off for the average consumer to use. And I know it's a pro-end machine, but there's a lot of pros, and I count myself in here, there's a lot of pros who do 1080p quite happily, thank you very much. I don't want 4K. I don't need 4K. And I would like the processing power that this thing can offer. So I think they've gone too far ahead of the market. I think they've concentrated too much on the 4K end of it. And I think, yeah, okay, it's a machine for the future, but I think if they'd have done two versions, and it wouldn't have been that hard to do, where just basically the internal CPU was 1080p oriented and one was 4K oriented, and used that as your split, and they needed to drop the base unit price by £400, then I think, I mean, I was sat with Elmug the other night, there was 10 people in that room that went, ouch, at the price, and they would have bought, they were waiting to pay money for a MacBook Pro. Martin, that you know and I know, he was ready to buy a Mac Pro, and as soon as it came up with the price, he went, well, that's me buying a MacBook, Retina MacBook Pro then.
But that's the point, isn't it? I mean, you can spec out a MacBook Pro, and it'll get up to over $2,000. So, I mean, that leap for an extra few hundred quid, and I know if you haven't got that few hundred quid, that's a massive leap to take.
Yeah, but you've got to bear in mind that you're not getting a keyboard, you're not getting a screen, you're not getting the same kind of... You're giving up an awful lot to make that move to that thing.
They're not aiming for... They don't particularly want me or any of us really to buy that. It's a... They've returned to the high-end creative industries. This is what I was saying, you know, when you asked me how I thought the keynote had gone, and I said, well, I think they've returned to their core. And I think they have. I think they've gone for the key-end creative professionals. They've gone...
What the hell am I, then?
Well, exactly. But I'm talking about people running photography studios. I'm talking about people... You could build a recording studio out of... one of those computers, and I think people will.
I think it's
saying for people who will, like, get a contract that will earn them $20,000, for example, in one job, and so they see that, oh, it'll pay off itself. This job will pay for that device, yeah. So exactly. Anything after that is gravy.
No, I mean, it's a fantastic-looking device. I think it's superb in terms of its specification. I just don't think they need to make it as high end as it currently is. They should have added, a same form factor and all that kind of stuff, but one that crunched a little bit less and one that crunched a little bit more. I mean, by the time I've put 16, you know, put enough RAM in it and that kind of thing, I'm well over 3,200 for it.
I think it's ugly.
I think it's beautiful. We've had this conversation, Greeny.
It's like. You saw that one where the bloke has got it on his recording studio desk at the keynote?
Yeah.
And you can imagine somebody coming and think, what the f*** is that?
Oi! Oh, Greeny!
Oh, Greeny!
I just can't trust him.
Kelly, how long's your Skype call, mate?
Let me look. Couple of minutes, because I fell off, so I'm back.
Oh, shit. That means I've got to go find it.
I'm at 5340.
All right, mate.
It's not particularly good looking, is it? I mean, it's nothing.
I think so.
It's just a black.
It's pretty sexy.
It is sexy.
Oh, it's dead sexy.
And it's quiet. It's Mac Mini quiet. I mean, it's gorgeous.
It's the ultimate in minimalism, or whatever you want to go call it.
It's a tiny thing. I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. Well, I showed it the other day. It's the same size as a box of Costco wipes.
The only thing that does concern me. Sorry, Kelly.
No, go ahead.
The only thing that does concern me is once you start sticking in the power cable and like six USB ports or Thunderbolt 2 ports, it might not look so pretty then.
Well, they'll be at the back, to be fair.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It doesn't look pretty anyway. I tell you what, you wait till you see one in the flesh and you'll think, ah, actually, it's not that good looking. It needs some stickers on it.
That's what I thought when I saw you.
Put a sticker on it. You could put a sticker on it, Greeny. What?
It's your computer. It's not like the Apple police are going to come take you away.
I know. I'm going to put an Intel Inside sticker on it and a few other bits and pieces.
Well, it has got Intel Inside.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah.
It was interesting, though, how there were a significant number of people in the group you and I were in who changed their purchasing habits, their retail expectations, the minute the price came out.
They did.
It was very clear that the people... had gone from, oh, here's the new, hearing about the new device they were going to buy, to going, actually, that device is not for me. And I do accept that.
Yeah.
It would have done. I mean, because I remember when it was first revealed, I think I said it would be about $2,000 to $3,000, I think, because everyone went, ooh, no, that's too much. But it isn't. It's what they've decided to go with, the pro market. If you can afford a MacBook Pro, a specced out MacBook Pro, you can save for a little bit longer and get this if you so wish. And you will not have a screen, you're right, but... You can get them as you wish. You've probably got screens lying around. If you're in that market, you've probably got a mouse. You've probably got a keyboard.
You at least have something to hook it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was talking about going mobile with it. I just wanted to follow the dream. On that very point, actually, we had an email.
You know, the first official accessory they're going to make for the Mac Pro is a space heater, right?
Okay.
There you go.
If you say so.
Someone's with me.
No.
Well, that's all. A lot of people that I talk to now are like, I can't do... anywhere near as much as I, with my cheese grater, my 50 pound slab of aluminum as I could, you know, as I could when I first bought it. And so now I turn it on to keep my feet warm.
Right. Okay.
I do check out the heat.
We got an email from Bill. Bill, I can't say his surname. Bill Svensson, that'll do. And if I got that wrong, Bill, I apologise, mate. But he came out with a cracking idea. He sent me an email. He said, I woke up with a fevered brow in the small hours, and I started thinking, what if you made a lobotomac? Stick with me. Here's the plan. First, you get an older MacBook Pro, say 15 or 17 inch, that's failed off on warranty and is being sold off for parts on eBay. But make sure that the screen is showing as working and the keyboard. Then find someone to help you rip it to pieces. Once this genius has managed to remove all of the guts from the MacBook Pro, leaving only what's necessary for the keyboard, the trackpad via Bluetooth, and the screen to function as an external Thunderbolt monitor, then what you do is put this Mac Pro in your bag, and it's your monitor for your portable Mac Pro that you were talking about, Ewan. That boy's a frigging genius. I've got a 17-inch MacBook Pro up here. I could pull the guts out of that, as long as it could be converted to take a Thunderbolt adapter port or something like that. Robert's your father's brother. You're in. I thought, well done, Bill. That's email of the week for me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it, though?
No, because I ain't going to buy a Mac Pro. But I thought, Bill gets award of the week. There you go. He's Canadian as well, so everyone likes
it. For indulging your craziness, is that why?
Yeah, okay. Point. Maps! What do you think to maps?
I love them.
Right,
I
here
like
we go.
The integration.
Here's maps on my computer. This is maps. It's great. It moves around beautifully. And you've got the... Oh, look at that, 3D jobby. Oh, that's beautiful. And you can zoom. It is my house there, look, see? And look at that result. That's my house. That's the back of my house right here, look. There you go. That's Ellis's sandpit from when he was about three. And there's something red here on the front. I don't know what it is. I'm glad it didn't catch the wife sunbathing or something.
Sunbathing.
But you've got to have a trackpad. There's no question about it. You must have a trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a trackpad, look at the... It looks like a photo. I think it's superb. The graphics quality is excellent. There's no street view, so it's not keeping up with Google in that sense. But I was very impressed. And watch out, look. The ghost car. Here it is. There's loads of them. I've been all over the place having a look at things, and there's ghost cars everywhere. You go to London, it's nothing but ghost cars.
What does that mean? What's a ghost car?
You need to have a copy of the feed, mate. But there's a picture of like a car, but it's not there. Moving,
yeah.
If it's moving, then some of the cars are, but not a lot of them. Some of them are, apart from London. London, it goes mental.
I like the feature that you, I think Google's had it for a while. Android's had it for a while though. But where you can set an address and then ping that straight to your phone, so it's ready as soon as you go out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
It is. I mean, it's really, really good. I was dead impressed with it.
Yeah, that's the thing about it, is that it's actual integration. That, for me, is the part that makes it appealing.
I'm trying to look for Paris.
Pretty good, considering how bad Apple Maps and the iPhone was when it first came out, that they pulled this off.
It's still errors on it, unfortunately. It's still the same.
It's still the same core code, isn't it? So.
Yeah. I mean, there's pubs around me that are shut and been demolished, and they're still saying they're there. I keep reporting them, but nothing happens.
Listen, trust me, I would know that this pub is gone because I've been drinking there for ages. Here we go, my friend.
And also, you can use this, because this integrates with the calendar stuff as well. You can do that when you set up a meeting. It'll tell you how long, you know, you should leave now.
Yeah, it'll take you 15 minutes to get there or whatever it is, and that's really cool.
And it compensates for traffic conditions and things like that as well.
It has got traffic built into the app. Like, you can switch on traffic and you can see loads of red lines, especially around London. So I'm not actually sure if it's taking that into account, but it seems to be pretty accurate for my knowledge of getting around the city.
There's a Louvre.
Oh, wow. That's really high quality.
That's the Louvre that we've just gone over there. Place de la Concorde.
I've got a games advert.
Where's the bloody... where's the Champs-Élysées? I don't, there it is.
Where's Area 51?
Oh, no, we haven't done that yet. We'll have to do that. But you can see the change as well on the maps. There's like a little ripply line that shows that it's going to an area of higher definition, if you like. It's really good. But the amount that you can zoom in is great. The only thing I can't seem to find out how to do is to... you've got that kind of three-dimensionally type effect on it.
Hit the building.
What do you mean?
It's a little building.
Yeah, no. I'm in the three-dimensional view because... Oh, there we go. There we go.
Does this go as a video cast as well as an audio cast?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Sorry, audio listeners.
No. But if you don't listen to the video, for Christ's sake, it's the 21st century.
So who's excited about the new iPads as well? New iPads.
Yeah, I want them.
Grr, baby. Very grr.
The one that can hide behind a pencil.
The Air. Let's talk about the Air.
Rower.
Ewan said he'd buy me one for Christmas, which is really nice.
Really? Nice. Yeah, I mean, I thought there was... I mean, everyone knew they were going to make them thinner and lighter and sexier, so to speak, but... I think that looked really nice. And, of course, there's loads of naysayers going, oh, the price is too much, they didn't lower the price enough. Why they kept the iPad 2 around? I don't know. Because they said, they came out and said, because it's selling. The iPad 2 still sells large numbers.
So well, that's education, isn't it, to be fair?
I think, yeah. Mm.
But, no, I like the cuts. You know, they didn't make a gold one, which I'm quite happy about. I don't mind my gold iPhone, but I'm not sure I want to carry around a gold iPad.
Have they put the gold iPad out yet?
There isn't one. It's stormtrooper.
It's just the slate and grey at the moment, isn't it?
Silver and the space grey.
Now, Charlotte and I and several other people had a huge conversation about this, and I've had a very mixed response on Twitter, it has to be said. There's my iPad 3. You can actually see the dust on it because it sits on my desk and I use it in Sky Sports and nothing else. It just sits there, right there, and that's it. Nothing else. Doesn't do a damn thing. Because I just ain't looking it around anymore, stuff that. I've got my little iPad mini, it's perfect from the train. I am not interested in the full form factor iPad. Would I buy an iPad Air? Oh, that's a good question, because certainly in terms of the size, it appeals nowhere at all, really. But the thickness is down, the weight's down, and if it's the same kind of weight as the... Oh, no. Oh, 399, oh, yeah. 699 for 128 gig as well. I don't know. I'm torn as to whether this is a good buy or not a good buy. My view is that if you're into the iPad Mini, it's a pointless exercise.
If you have an iPad Mini, it may not be a dramatic upgrade for you. I mean, from iPad to iPad 2, it was Retina and camera. So if you were going from, maybe if you have an iPad 2, and now, you know, you passed on the 3, you didn't get a 4, now the fifth one, maybe, you know, after a couple of iterations, it's a worthy upgrade. It's the same sort of thing that we see with mobile phones. People who upgrade every year don't necessarily see as dramatic a change as the people who ride out the contract and skip a generation.
Yeah.
And also, the fact the Retina Mini as well brings it down to your personal choice of size. They are, as far as I know, they are equal now. Mm-hmm. They've got A7 chips, they've got M7 chips, they've got the same cameras, same video cameras as well in them.
So it is just a form factor issue.
So now, now you can decide. You can either have the smaller form factor at 7 inches if you so want, or wish, or go up to 9 inches. And it will be purely based on what you wish to use it for. If you want to write, for example, while on the train, it's very hard to do it on a mini unless you're tiny.
That's what I think.
Yeah, but I am
tiny,
and I still think that.
No, I mean I've got the attached keyboard for mine. Charlotte's already the night, and it's dead easy to type on. And I got big fat pork sausages. So,
But you're not typing on the screen. You're using a third party thing to do the typing.
Yeah, but I don't mind typing on the screen. I turn it portrait and hit it with my thumbs, and I do okay.
But anyway, so it just comes down to form factor size. I'm probably going to be a mad person and get both of them, to tell you the truth, but there you go.
I don't think that the Mini needs a Retina display because it's such a good quality screen anyway. And Charlotte did back me up on that the day she watched the movie on there.
Your eyesight's going, dude. Exactly. You admit it all the time.
I do, yeah, it's fine. I got no problem with that. But I really don't think it needs it. I'd rather have more storage and less resolution in the screen for the price, because the thing that they've done is the iPad has gone down. The iPad Mini has gone down £20 with the non-Retina display, but there's no change in the spec, so I can't buy a bigger storage option on it. But they brought out the 120 gig, but only in the Retina, and it's a stupid price. And it's gone up, the basic core version has gone up £50.
But they always jack their prices up on the memory. But it's still not big enough for Woz. He wants 256 or whatever.
What the hell? Well, he never goes home, though. That's the difference, I
no,
suppose.
No, it's because he goes home. Apparently he's got no fast internet connectivity in his house where he lives. So he has to have all his media in his device. That's what he's saying.
Right.
Bless him.
This was another example of something I was surprised that they kept. You can still get the non-Retina Mini. So if you've decided that the 1.0 screen is fine for you,
yep,
then you have that opportunity. Again, I can't believe they kept that thing. So, yeah,
but they've only got 16 gig storage options.
Yeah, yeah, but people who are going to be into it and look at that, the kind of people like my parents who basically won't install an app unless I tell them to. And, you know, they're not going to need a ton of space. They're not going to put a bunch of movies on it. Or even if they do, like 16 gig is still a few, you know, more than a few films and quite a number of TV shows if you're not streaming them. Yeah. So for a lot of people, I think it's a good, it's the Honda Civic of devices. Like, it is a pocket size tablet device. It's a thing that you can use. You can do all the basics on it. It's not necessarily the fastest. It's not necessarily the biggest, but it will do what you want to do, which is compute super mobily. And no, that's not a word. I just made it up. So there. But it gives you that. It's just not necessarily like the Cadillac of the iPad Air. That's all.
Yeah.
And just all the juice. Sorry, we've gone to Charlotte. Sorry.
I don't disagree with you in that the quality of the iPad Mini is lovely. I mean, it's a beautiful piece of kit, and you showed me a very high...
It's only 20 ppi off being Retina.
Yeah, and you showed me a movie on it, a high-quality video, and it played it beautifully. There's no disputing that. But I don't think I would want to sit watching a two-hour movie on that little screen. I wouldn't want to sit and watch a 45-minute episode of Orange is the New Black on that screen.
I do it. Well, that's because you need the detail. I do it every day, mate.
I know, and you're very happy with it, and that's why they create a variety of devices. And I certainly agree with Carl that I wouldn't sit using the, not using an attached keyboard and type an article on a Mini. No chance.
Oh, well.
I watched all of the Empire. Actually, I watched all three original trilogy movies from Star Wars on my iPod 5th generation.
And they were perfectly fine.
It was just because I wanted to.
You can make yourself a custom device that holds it in front of your face right there, you see.
It was original because there was no despecialized at the time. So now the first thing I installed on my iPad was the despecialized editions. If I get a new iPad, that's what I'm going to do, is install the despecialized, and then I'll worry about apps and things.
I don't like Star Wars.
It's just because I can.
I've never really seen it.
Will, with all that time you've spent on your Alec Guinness impression, how can you say such a thing?
You're a liar.
It's only because I said something from a fortune cookie, and I thought, that sounds a bit like Alec Guinness, that I looked into it. I don't like Star Trek either.
I like Star Trek, but
I've never really seen Star Wars.
He was actually delivering a line from The Man in the White Suit, but he realised the popular appeal of that film was not as great as Star Wars, so he changed it, you see.
To be honest, that is, you're not far off the truth, eh?
Ah!
Stuff, yeah.
The Lady Killers, isn't it? He was was he in The Lady Killers?
Yeah, he was.
I thought so. Okay. Last thing then, Mac upgrades, Retina, iPad, MacBook Pro even. Retina MacBook Pro upgrade, 13-inch and 15-inch. Big drop in price, actually. £400 cheaper if you want to get the base-in model here in the UK. It's an awful lot. And previously, if I wanted the high-end machine, it would have been £2,799. And now if I spec up the top-end machine with what I need in it, it's £2,799.
Well, last year when I bought mine, I talked myself out of a Retina MacBook Pro because I couldn't pay the $500 retina tax, and now it's not $500 anymore.
If you're you're very happy.
Yeah, I'm seriously considering, there's a couple of local Apple resellers here that will do trade-in programs, and I'm considering trading in to get the retina, because if it's only going to be a couple $100 difference, that's something I can convince myself. $500? No, I can't, because at $500, I could have had a whole nother iPad at that point. Full-on iPad.
I mean, I had the retina for the last week. I didn't see a great deal of difference in the screen. I wasn't that bothered, because my eyesight's going, thank you, Carl, before you say it. But also, the only thing that was different was the processing power. It definitely crunched everything faster, no question of that.
So if I'm looking at to get one of these new, the 13-inch one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you suggest, rather, because you get the three processing choices, right? You get the basic one, middle one, and the upper core one. But would you say it's worth just maxing out the memory rather than the processor? Because once you've done it, you're stuck. You can't ever change it again.
Yeah, you've got the 2.4 gigahertz dual core i5, which is only going up to a 2.6 gigahertz i5. You're only getting 4 gig of memory on the base level, which is never going to be enough for crunching any video. I mean, you really want 16 gig on that for it to be worthwhile. I am absolutely a devotee of external storage now. I can't cope with 128 because with applications, I sat and worked out with this one when I reinstalled everything. With applications, I need to go to 256 as a minimum. But at 256, I can exist quite happily with just the internal storage on this. I used a Thunderbolt drive, and I put a 1 terabyte SSD in it. And the other day, I said on last week's Mac Show, I transferred 15 gig of video via Thunderbolt in 42 seconds. So there's absolutely no point in maxing out internal storage anymore. It's just not worth it. Go for external storage. Just have enough in there that you can keep your current files, the things you want to crunch, you know, pretty quickly, and then swap them out and back them up to external drives and then copy and back those up. I've bought the twin Thunderbolt Seagate dock, and that is brilliant. Carry that around with me. It weighs next to nothing. You've just got a power adapter to carry with it. So personally, Carl, I think for what you do probably, you'd be better off getting the £1,099 machine, not maxing out the processor, but maxing out the memory. That gives you £240 extra. So for £1,339, you're going to have a kick-ass machine there. That's going to do fine at video. The RAM is what you really, really want. And you don't get a choice there on the low-end model, though. You're stuck at 128 gig of storage. That's the only thing that I might struggle with.
Is that user-replaceable RAM, is it?
No.
Or not?
No, it's wired
to the board. That's what I say. You have to pick it, and that's it. You're stuck with it forever.
It's three days of delivery. There are no user serviceable parts anymore in the laptops. None at all.
Yep.
That's a bit of a mistake with the old RAM thing, isn't it? Because I'm sure I'm not my own, but you look at your last machine, if you like, and you maxed out the RAM to sort of 1 gig, and you think, Christ, how did I ever cope with that? So with this little beauty, in 4 years' time, you're thinking, oh, bugger.
No, 16 gig will last you. 16 gig will last you a fair while, Matt. If you're crunching 1080p video, that's not going to get any harder as a task in terms of CPU usage. It'll be what it'll be. Its only problem's going to come if you've got 4K. And in 3 to 4 years, you aren't going to be using 4K video, Carl. It's just not worth it. No, there won't be anything that shoots 4K video in 4 years' time that's at the consumer level that still isn't below a grand. I don't think you'll find that you'll need it.
No, I don't need it anyway. But technology moves on. I do reckon it'll be available in four years, but it will not be as widespread as 1080p is now anyway.
The cheapest 4K monitor. If you're going to render 4K video, you're going to have to look at a 4K monitor while you're doing it. So you forget your Thunderbolt thing. That's the other thing that surprised me. I thought Apple would bring out a 4K screen. Mm. But the cheapest 4K screen that I could find was $3,500. And it's only 31 inches or something like that. It's ridiculous.
No. But the new Mac Pro
will give you three of them.
Yeah, but you can't actually see the individual pixels at that kind of size. It's pointless.
No. The only reason I think they might try and push it faster is because the TV company's got burnt so badly on 3D that it's now just a feature, and they are desperate for you to upgrade your 1080p sets. Mm-hmm. They're going to try and push 4K a lot harder on us, I think.
No, they're not doing computers.
You know what, sorry?
The next thing in computers.
What's that going to be?
128-bit architecture.
How do you reckon? That out? Is that because you just doubled 64?
No, it's because I've bought 128architecture.com, 128bitarchitecture.com, and i128.co.uk.
Right, okay.
You got squat?
I just bought them. I thought, I don't know. But this is good, isn't it? So that's the next thing, right? 128bitarchitecture.com. That's it.
Right there, mate.
And you bought those to UK too, right?
So, Carl, if you go for the 13-inch MacBook Pro Retina display, 2.6 Core i5, that's the top-end one there, 16 gig of RAM, 512 flash storage, that's only costing you £1,659. So it's only it's 300 quid more, but you'll get more storage there. You'll get 512 on it.
Okay. Cool.
I'm looking at the gallery of it.
Yeah.
Have they got rid of a USB port?
I bloody hope not.
I think they have.
They can't have got rid of the USB port. It's
No, I think there's only one, though. Unless I'm going mental.
There was only one in the one that I had, yeah. There's two Thunderbolt ports and there's one USB port.
Oh, okay. Oh. I've got two USB ports.
That's useful, isn't it? That's useful. Get rid of the USB port and having two crappy FireWire ports.
No, there's one on either side.
FireWire?
Or whatever it's called.
Okay, There's an HDMI out.
Yeah, you've got... that can't be right. It's showing that there's an Ethernet port back in it.
Yeah, there is.
There is.
No, there isn't. That's just an eight times superdrive. I think I must have clicked the wrong link there. My arse.
Yeah, no drive, no more.
Mm-mm.
No, that's wrong. Right, I'm looking on the 13-inch and 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro page.
Yeah.
And it's showing Thunderbolt. It's showing 8 times SuperDrive and Kensington lock on it.
There's still a non-Retina machine. You can still buy, like, my computer.
Yeah. So you've got two USB 3s, one on each side, two Thunderbolts, MagSafe connector, headphone and mic, and dual mics at the side, SD card slot, and you've also got an HDMI out as well.
Yeah, adding HDMI out is really cool.
Well, that was already on it. That was on the old one, on the last one.
Because on mine, I had to buy an HDMI, another Apple adapter. So to have that go straight from the computer would be another thing that made me inclined to upgrade my laptop to this.
Yeah. So.
Or just get an Apple TV now.
I'm obviously always going to have a laptop as the centre of my sort of workflow. And I've got an HDMI, relatively cheap HDMI monitor. And HDMI cables, so to have a direct out would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've done a good job. Now, the only thing that I've got as a question, and I'm going to be shouted down here, chat room jump in at any point, is that the processor on the old one was a 2.7 gigahertz Core i7, and this one, when you max it out, is a 2.6 gigahertz quad-core Core i7.
You could bump that up previously too, because I have a 2.9 i7.
Yeah, but the architecture is different, isn't it? Because they've got this clear thing on it. Is
120
bit? It's not. It's a clear well, as opposed to Haswell. So yeah. Is that a better chip or not? Are they just pulling my plonker here? Because
here's hoping.
Me too. That's a 2.6 gigahertz i7. Processor, whereas the other one was 2.7 i7, and I just I'm lost.
My doc's gone onto the wrong page.
The what?
My doc's jumped around again.
Oh, okay. The doc jumped over the boom. So I just don't know if those processors, if that's an upgrading processor from the old one, or whether they've actually downgraded the processor and that's where they've made the saving on the base price.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
No.
See. Before, if I maxed
Adam
out...
Adam says that the gigahertz is different and it still benchmarks faster.
Right. Wasn't the old one dual core? I thought it was a quad core, I have to say. But okay. No, okay, that's fair enough. I'll always bow to Adam. Adam's. We should have had Adam on, really, rather than us.
It's the 15-inch quad core.
Yeah. The 15-inch 2.6 quad-core Intel Core i7 boosted up to 3.8 gigahertz with turbo boost, 16 gig of RAM, and a 1 terabyte storage comes out at £2,799, which is what the other one did as well. So, and I don't think I had 1 terabyte storage on it. So, Crystal Well, that's it. Crystal Well is quad core, mm-hmm. and Haswell was dual core, says Clem. So Adam's absolutely right, as we always knew he was.
Oh yeah,
brilliant.
So that reminds me, I'm going to do something that doesn't normally happen when you talk to Apple people, apparently, about their opinions. Last week I said we were going to get multicolor minis, like we have the 5C.
Yeah, yeah.
The iPhone 5C, that they were going to be the same model. And you know what?
Didn't happen.
I completely got that wrong. Because
yes.
I thought it would be neato.
It was a fair shot. But
I effed it up in kind of a big way. And I never said they must. I said this is what I wanted to see happen. So instead of coming out here and telling you that Apple pulled them at the last minute, or it was something Apple's going to do but just hasn't gotten around to, or go full Apple
television. That comment's obviously pointed at someone.
Or go full Apple television on it and just swear to you that it's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. It was what I wanted to see. I thought it would be neato. And they didn't do what I wanted them to do. And you know what? That's okay.
Okay.
Whoa.
Well admitted, Kelly. That's obviously a comment for someone in particular, but that will remain a secret. Never mind.
There's a herd of them. You can find all of them on Angry Mac Bastards.
Oh, okay. So you don't get that kind of abuse on this show.
Have you got time for one more story, Ewan?
I have. Go ahead, Carl.
Just the... because Tweetbot for iPhone came out today. So Tweetbot is probably one of the most used Twitter clients going, I reckon, for iOS.
Are you running the risk of being unfollowed by Don McAllister here?
Why?
Oh, he put a tweet out saying that if anyone slagged off Tweetbot, they were going to get an immediate unfollow.
No.
And then he deleted the tweet.
So it's a two-man team, and the vitriol what they've received for daring to charge people for this huge update that they've done. It's just insane. They're asking, I think it's £2.99.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what it is in the States. It might be $1.99. Anyway, but
no, it's $2.99 here as well.
And people just cannot believe that they have the goal to charge for this thing that they've been, a two-man team, not a big corporation, not a big company, that they've been working on for the past who knows how long, and they've made it, redesigned it. It all looks nice, lovely in iOS 7. It's got a few new features in. It works gorgeously. It looks gorgeous. And I just can't believe they're getting lambasted for charging, daring to charge for their hard work.
It's not even a redesign, it's a rewrite. So keep in mind, this isn't that they just spruced up the front end. This is a full-on, from-zero redo.
The one thing I will say, and I the $2.99 thing is fine, that's a decent price, I got no problem with that. What annoyed me about the Tweetbot before was $13.99 for it. It's using someone else's API. It's not a hugely... they've got some nice features in there. It is easily the best Twitter client that there is on the market. I've got no problem with that at all. But $13.99 was
quite a lot. You mean for the Mac version?
Tweetbot for Mac was $13.99 in the Mac App Store. That was gouging. That wasn't good. That's not a good price. I'm not going to hear that it is.
I'm not going to want to defend them or anything like that on that particular issue. But I will say that because Twitter changed the number of users or tickets or whatever they want to call them out they send to developers, you have got a finite amount of users that you can sign up through your app. And once you hit that, it's over. You can't sign up anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why they charge so much for the app, because they didn't
want to. Right. So have you done the maths and worked out how much they've got for their efforts?
Well, I don't know how many sold.
Well, if you've got 100,000 limit, it's £1.3 million. Pounds.
Also,
Minus 30%.
But it's also, they're still just a two-man company, and they're pushing out a service, which you don't have to buy if you don't want to. There's Twitter One, it's free if you wanted that. But
dude, when did Tweetbot come out?
Last year?
It's not a year old. It's about 10 months ago. 10 months ago, they made £1.3 million. They've just issued an update for £2.99, which is another £299,000. But two-man band... For 10 months' work.
What should they be earning then?
Mate, I just... I've got a hard time defending the initial. I don't mind the upgrade, and I don't mind. Yeah,
but it's still $13.99, you know.
It's still $13.99 to buy the original version in the Mac App Store, but and $13.99 is too much for something that's a basic Twitter
we're
client.
We're not talking about the Mac version. You got me sidetracked. We're talking about the iOS version, the iPhone one today. Wait, that was my point.
Okay. There you go. Do I code software? Says Mac. Says Adam. No, I don't. But that's too much money for something that does something that simplistic.
You're not saying that it should be given away for free and that people should be paid for their work.
No, I'm absolutely not. People should definitely be paid for their work. Applications should definitely charge what their value is. And I don't think, in my estimation, that did enough to warrant the value that they were charging.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment.
And if Donovan follows me, I hope he doesn't. But it's just my opinion. I'm entitled to it, honestly. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're brilliant. They were 15 last week, and they're going to be 15 again in 15 years' time. We'll be there because they're looking after us. We're looking after them. You're looking after them, which is the classic thing that we need. Go to our website, use the click-throughs, use the offer codes. We get kudos for it. And the more that you support UK2, the more this podcast stays on the air because we can't afford to pay for the dedicated server that we've got and all the bandwidth that we consume, and it is a lot. It's an awful lot. So please, please, please support UK2 because they look after us. They're bro. Right.
I've tweeted what a load of old rubbish Tubot is.
You just have you?
I have.
That'd be Don McAllister and following you then.
Well, I've put him in there as well. At Don McAllister, at British Techmag, what a load of rubbish Tubot is. So, shall we see what happens? Do you reckon he will or not?
Red rag to the bull.
Old devil. Why is he even following people for saying that?
Have you got a cool thing for us, Charlotte?
I haven't really. I think we've just been, because we've been given a whole week of cool things, you know, the whole new, with the whole keynote, I was sort of overwhelmed with cool things.
God, that's a cop out, isn't it?
Is it a cop-out?
You haven't done anything, have you?
I haven't got a cool thing, no, because I like the week of cool things that we've got.
You haven't...
I'm sure I could find something that I've been using. I use Netflix.
I forgot you did this feature, Ewan. That's all you need to say.
No, I haven't. I've been looking forward to hearing the other people.
Do you know what? I actually thought, I know Ewan does this feature and I need something, but I thought, nah, bollocks, stuff him. I ain't going to pick anything. There's no win here, woman.
I'm not getting away with that, man.
I'll be coming back to you, all right? Next, Carl Madden.
Well, I'm going with Tweetbot 3. So, $1.99 for the Brits, and for the Americans, $2.99.
Excellent. If you've got it and you paid the $13.99 to start with, I'm sure you'll enjoy the extra money that you're going to have to pay to keep it running.
Two different versions, Ewan.
Oh, shut up. Kelly, what have you got for us?
Knights of the Old Republic. It's $5 for your iPad right now. You're welcome.
Now, I've looked at that and walked away several times. I thought, no, it doesn't look... Is it a really good game? No, I don't care.
It's that good a game.
Okay. I'll buy it then. You convinced me. And Will Green, this is the fastest cool thing we've ever done, but now it's about to slow down, I fancy. Greeny, what have you got?
Massively, I'm afraid.
What have you got for us, mate?
I've got three, if you don't mind. I'll do them quickly. You see, Charlotte, this is what it's all about.
You could have given me one and got me out of the trouble.
What, do you want one of these ones, then?
No, get on with it.
Greeny, you don't know what you're talking about, let alone giving it to someone else to talk about. Come on, mate, what is it?
Okay, first one, iOS. Quick Office by Google. So it used to be a best part of a tenner, I think. It's like a mobile office suite. You've seen them. So you can edit Excel spreadsheets and Word documents and PowerPoints and everything else. It's got integration with... Well, it's made by Google now. They bought QuickOffice off QuickOffice, and now it's owned by Google. And they've made it lovely in Google, and it integrates with your Google Cloud, your Drive. And it's fantastic. So if you want to do offline word processing, for example, with your Google Docs, you can do using this product. It's really cool. And it's free, and it works on iPhone, iOS, I should say, and also Android as well. A real good one. It used to be only available for free for people who were subscribed to the business version of Google Docs, but they've opened it up to everybody in the nice way that Google are. Aren't they lovely?
Okay, jolly good then, mate.
Did you just have a Google product as a cool thing?
No,
on it, a Mac.
Will's got to declare an interest here.
What an interest in what a great company Google is.
Yeah, moving on.
That interest.
Yeah.
Moving on. The next two are for Mac. First one is Airmail. So if you're bored with the rubbish mail app that Mail for OS X is, and you're looking for a really modern, lovely alternative, then Airmail. It's available from the Mac Store. It supports all of the stuff that that Mail does, but it's just such a nice user interface, such a nice product, really fantastic.
Price?
About £2.
I second that.
£2. There you go. We like that.
It's brilliant. Absolutely love it. And the last one, you're maybe a web designer or something like that, and people send you images that contain text. I mean, I've always had to sort of, I don't know about yourself, you open Photoshop up and you open the image they sent you and you have to retype the text, other than going for some ludicrously complicated OCR program, which are always nasty. It's a little application called PicaText. That's PicaText. Again, I think it's about £2. And you just it goes in your top menu bar. Somebody sends you the image. You click on the little PicaText in the menu bar at the top of your screen, and then you just draw a square around the text in the image, hit return, bang, it does fantastic OCR. It basically converts the image text into real text that you can paste into your website or document or whatever you're working on. PicaText, absolutely brilliant.
If you're wondering what fonts are and things like that, there's a website called whatsthatfont.com, and you just send a picture up, and then you just tell it which letter's which in the pictures that it shows, and it tells you what font it is as well, so that would work really well with that, if you wanted to duplicate.
That's really good, yeah.
Not just the copy of it. Charlotte,
I do have a cool thing if you want to stop bullying me.
Oh, okay.
She just made it up now. I think you should ignore it.
There are two things, actually. One is one I heard about on this program, which is awesome, which is Pixelmator, which, if you're like me and you like doing graphic stuff, but you don't want to splash out on Photoshop because, frankly, you wouldn't make enough use of it. Pixelmator in the App Store is absolutely awesome. It's $10.99, and it basically gives you all the Photoshop functionality that us mere mortals could possibly need. And I've been using it quite a lot this week for some graphics for someone, and actually it does things really nice and simply, and it's pretty powerful, actually, for $10.99.
Nora, these are made-up ones. These are random picks from the App Store. She's just gone to the App Store and picked two random ones and said, let's do these ones.
Well, you know that and I know that, but we didn't need to say it.
I use Pixelmator the whole time and it's brilliant.
Okay.
You want to edit this bit out?
I do love Pixelmator. I'm going to say
thank you, Kelly,
it's a great app.
It is.
Oh, the sisterhood.
I mean, with my iDraw the other week that I got that was £17 in the Mac App Store, it's getting easier and easier to step away from Adobe now. Most definitely it's getting easier to step away from Adobe. Having said that, though, I got great customer service from this week when I couldn't get, because they got my MacBook Pro back, and I reinstalled Photoshop, and it said, oh, no, different machine, mate. It's not. But within 10 minutes, guy online had solved the problem. Thank you very much. Can't remember his name. So, my pick is Mike the Spider on Twitter. And everyone has
Hang on a bit. Charlotte had a second one.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Did you?
I can give you another one if you want.
What a random one that you've picked out of the App Store?
No, one that according to Greeny. Another service that I use that's really good.
Go on then.
It's called NetVibes, and it's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant social media monitoring.
Right. How much is it?
It's free. You can get there as a free version. And if you're part of a company, you probably already know anyway, and there are enterprise versions as well. And you can basically track any social media, Facebook, Twitter. You can track blogs. You can track news sites that mention whatever keywords, set up different dashboards. And there's no app for it as far as I know, but it looks beautiful on a iPad screen as well, monitoring stuff.
Excellent. Good one. My pick's Mike the Spider on Twitter. It's everyone says it's me, and I'm retweeting my own profile. It's not. I am not Mike the Spider. Whoever it is, well done. It's funny. Thank you very much. Keep going. Don't stop. You're brilliant. Follow at Mike the Spider on Twitter. If you don't know who Mike the Spider is, you'll find out. where can we get a hold of you then, Charlotte?
If you follow at Charlotte A. Henry on Twitter or go to charlotteahenry.com.
Excellent. Carl, where are you, mate?
You can get me on Twitter at Clausio101 or on The Media Show where I'm a regular guest.
Okay, well done, mate. Kelly?
You can find me on The Comic Show on this very network. And you can also find me on Angry Mad Bastards and on TUAW and hosting the 2 Hour podcast occasionally. And you can also find me on Twitter at app.net as Virgo.
You're right. We got a comic show due to go up soon, haven't we? I've got one.
Yes, we do. Certainly hope so.
It's in the can. I just need to post it. And Greeny, who's got lower and lower in the seat as the show's gone on.
She's drunk.
As with every week. How's it going, mate? Where are you at?
Well, you can find me in many places. You can find me at .com and .com. .com.
You bought those, have you?
Yeah, they're all mine. I own them all.
Through UK too.
Why do you sit and squat on shit domains?
Good luck on the SEO on those.
They are not shit. This will make me a fortune. 128-bit app, what do you call it? 128-bit architecture.com. Brilliant. That is.
Have you got ha-ha-ha.com, did you say?
No. It was just an old goon, a goon show joke, which, because if you...
Spike Milligan made a .com joke.
Rewind to listen to Carl's one. He says, you can find me at... and then he began again. So I just thought it was funny. Just made me laugh. It reminded me of an old goon show. Anyway, but you can find me, if you really want it, at BritishMac.com, which I will let you know is... I meant to get it out last Sunday, but I didn't have time. So I'm going to the studio in the morning, going to spend all day there, going to do the best blooming podcast, better than this load of old rubbish.
My chin is so itchy.
Huh?
My chin is so itchy. Yeah.
Right. All right, Madden, you wait till next week. Then you'll
Show release thing on your schedule. So.
Well, actually, Paul in the chat room has just said, is Madden not on Here and There anymore then? Because you didn't mention it.
Not at the moment. She's Miss is too busy at the moment, unfortunately.
Oh, right.
Oh, are you two falling out?
You're posting shows less than Greeny at the moment.
Exactly.
So I would be quiet if I were you.
How many Here and There's you doing?
All together? Yeah. 20, I think, under Here and There, and about 20 under Worlds Apart as well.
Yeah, so that's 40. How many have you done, Greeny?
Well, I've done a lot more than that. I've done 100 and...
But how long?
50-some-odd.
He's kept count, actually. That's the only thing to be fair to Greeny. He has kept count of what he's done.
Yeah.
That's because he's got enough finger and toes to do it on, that's why.
Right, we'll be back at 8 p.m. We have a very definite review of The Huddle coming. Yes, on the big show. If you, James Hart's coming on, and he's bringing his daughter Lenny, and she has a huddle, and she is the target audience of The Huddle. So you would like to watch that, because this will be the review in time for Christmas. So definitely come and watch that tonight, 8 p.m. Or download it on the feeds. If you don't listen to the big show, you bloody should. It's a good show. We'll be back again next week with more fun from Apple, and there'll be no doubt some fallout from everything that was mentioned this week, and a few people buying stuff and saying it doesn't work, and people saying the map sent me off a bridge, but we'll talk about it. Thanks for listening. See you next week.